Congress starts business today in Washington, as you probably heard. The Oregon legislature is still a few weeks away with some big issues looming. Money is the biggest. The most recent revenue projections show the state bringing in less money over the next 2 years than current state services would require, which means either budget cuts or new revenue or a combination. New revenue was on the ballot in November in the form of ballot measure 97, which would have raised corporate taxes. Voters rejected it. The people who supported that, though, wasted no time presenting another pathway to more income for the state through another potential ballot measure on corporate taxes. Ben Unger is with Our Oregon and the Coalition A Better Oregon to talk about what the next moves might be. Hi, Ben.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here today. Some money was certainly spent on measure 97. What do you suppose was the key to its defeat?
Well, I think it was that money. I mean, large corporations, almost all of them out of state, spent more money than any other campaign in Oregon history to defeat Measure 97. And that was because they have enjoyed for a long time paying lower taxes here in Oregon than any other state. Measure 97 sought to make a change in the tax code here to try to make corporations pay their fair share. We came up a little short, but we think that we're on to something here, and we're working towards the next solution.
Onto something in the sense that there was enough support for this, that there's something to build on?
Well, and that I think voters realize that without corporations at least doing a little more, we can't afford to be dead last. There's no way that we can afford to have the schools and services that Oregon families really need. And we heard that over and over on the campaign trail. People agreed with us on the principle. We've lost them a little bit on the details. And so now, when you lose on the details, you go back and you tweak and you fine-tune and you listen and you build a bigger and broader and stronger coalition and you keep trying. Because the problem is that, in general, we can't afford to wait to fix our schools. We can't afford to wait to give families affordable health care. And so we've got to keep trying.
How, though, do you counter some of the tactics that were used in this campaign? If you're going after corporate taxes again and it's going to be based on their incomes, they'll be able to come back, as they did this time with Measure 97, and say this is really a hidden sales tax because they're taxing our sales, therefore we'll pass it on to you.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we learned and one of the lessons that we're going to immediately take into the legislature is knowing that we need a coalition that likely includes a lot of the businesses that understand that they have to do a little more. There's a lot of great businesses in Oregon, and we met a lot of them during the campaign. And they told us that by working with them, working together with them, and building our coalition bigger and broader, that we think we can come up with a solution that's going to fit better. And so we have invited everyone to the table this time. We have a proposal that tweaks our original proposal, tries to address some of the concerns that were raised during the campaign. But we don't really buy the premise that these large corporations pass these taxes on to consumers. They don't. And the reason why voters can be confident of that is, well, they spent $28 million confusing folks and raising small details so that they would vote no. But it doesn't mean that they're not really going to pay in the end. And that's why these corporations oppose that measure. They don't want to necessarily have an unfair or they don't want to have a tax that doesn't work for them and for the economy. And I think that they're going to want to work with us because they know that we need good schools and services, too. These corporations have families that live and work and play in Oregon, and they need great schools, too.
Ben Unger, polls showed Measure 97 likely failing before Election Day. Were the new tax proposals you're talking about already in the works, even before the ballots were counted?
No, not necessarily. We were focused 100% on winning in November. Our polling told us that we always had a decent chance to win, despite the big money that was spent against us. But on these efforts, you only get one shot to take such a big swing at making a big difference, and we were totally focused on that all the way through Election Day.
A Better Oregon's budget report, which proposes the next step, came out about 2 weeks after the governor announced her proposed budget, and I wonder how much of what you presented was a response to what she presented.
Well, it is a response in some way. Our challenge to the legislature and to the governor is this. We should not have budget cuts to schools and services while Oregon pays lower taxes. Oregon corporations pay lower taxes here than in any other country. It's just unacceptable. It's a choice that the legislature and the governor are making right now between budget cuts or the lowest corporate taxes in the country. And we think that corporations should pay their fair share so we don't have to have budget cuts. We don't have to have cuts to schools and services this biennium.
You've mentioned this a couple times about the lowest corporate taxes in the country, and you said dead last earlier. It depends on how you measure, doesn't it? I mean, Oregon can be considered dead last in some ways, but in overall corporate pressure, a little less perhaps?
No, I mean, the Anderson Economic Group is the way that we measure it. They do a study of the total amount of taxes that corporations pay, including all the local taxes, all the state taxes, all the property taxes, everything all wound up together. And that shows that that we're the lowest. I think even leaders in the business community now accept that our taxes for corporations here are lower than anywhere else.
Ben Unger is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Oregon and revenue and taxes. The legislature talking about more than $1 billion to try to make up over the next biennium. Ballot Measure 97 would have addressed this. Ballot Measure 97 failed. A Better Oregon, the coalition of groups, including Our Oregon, is pushing for another move ahead. We're going to unfold what that is over the next few minutes. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So give us an overview of what A Better Oregon's budget report talks about and some of the approaches forward.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in the report is actually an outline of the services needed in order to make Oregon a healthy state. And so we spend 20 pages going through what great K-12 schools would look like. We spend time talking about what an adequate and affordable healthcare system that provides care for seniors and provides care for the addicted and the mentally ill and provides care for kids. We spend time talking about what an adequate higher education system and community college system would look like. And then we talk about how could we pay for that? And then we examine again this basic question that Oregon, 50th in the country in corporate taxes, if we make the largest corporations in the state pay more, we could afford to have those things. They're not a pipe dream. We used to have some of them. We can have them again. And we go through and talk a little bit about some of the tweaks that we've made from what we learned in Measure 97 to try to address some of the concerns that were raised by the campaign and by people who are part of our coalition who wanted to make sure that we were doing it right.
Okay, a couple of ways to go here. We can talk first about the kinds of services you're valuing here. Schools, number one on the list. You say that schools have to be funded up to the quality education model level. Where does the quality education model come from?
It comes from the legislature, from the state. They about 15 years ago, we created a system to say, here's what adequate funding for schools looks like. And currently right now in the state, we are $2 billion short of adequate funding for K-12 schools. And what that means is Oregon has one of the shortest school years in the country. We have some of the largest class sizes in the country. We don't have the CTE, the career technical education courses that students really need to be able to find their path, their career path in life. And that really holds Oregon kids back, and it holds our economy back. The idea of having 25 kids in a classroom or having an extra couple weeks in the school year, those things will make such a big difference in kids' lives as they learn. That kind of expectation for families, I think, shouldn't be out of reach. Everyone should be able to say, oh, yeah, we should have great schools for our kids. But right now, we're not giving them that opportunity, but we can. And all we would have to do is ask the largest corporations in the world, ones that do more than $100 million in Oregon sales, to pay a little bit more, and we could get there.
All right, so how does this proposal then differ from Measure 97? Because you are still talking about gross receipts, and there's also a health care provider tax we'll get to in a moment. Let's talk about the gross receipts first, because that's going to make people say, didn't we just do this?
Well, we did, kind of, but the big difference here, are a couple of key things to note. First thing is that we raised the floor from 25 million in sales to 100 million in sales. And by doing that, really what we do is we protect a whole bunch of other medium-sized Oregon businesses that have been successful, that have grown up here, that we all know and love, who would have paid at the 25 million level but won't pay at the 100 million level. What you really do is you capture more out-of-state money and less in-state money. That was one of our goals all along, was to make out-of-state corporations pay. That's a key difference. The other thing that we do is we exempt utilities in this new proposal. There was a concern that because, unlike the rest of the economy where there's competition and businesses have to compete on pricing. In the utility world, there is a lot of competition. So if you tax them, they oftentimes are able to pass those taxes directly on. The utilities claim that they can do that. Instead of having to have that debate again, we said, okay, we're just going to exempt utilities, not worry about whether or not they're going to be able to raise their prices. That way you protect families. Everyone has to pay utility bills. That was another key difference. We did a couple of other tweaks like that. And again, part of the reason why we did the tweaks was to communicate an openness for a discussion. We want to have this discussion with the legislature, with the governor, with the business community, with the state at large, because we know that what we came up with wasn't that far off, but if we talk about it more and we tweak some of the details, we can find something that works for everybody.
So certainly making a difference in where you start charging people. You're talking about you have to, any corporation making more than $100 million, it has to be more than $100 million, or $100 million or more, I guess I should say.
$100 million, $1 is when they start to pay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so more than $100 million in
grant. Right.
And that's across the world, not just in Oregon they make those sales?
No, just in Oregon sales. Just like how Measure 97 did. Yeah, and it's only a few hundred corporations, but it would be a significant amount of revenue, the kind of money that we would need to have the schools that families could expect.
Ben Unger, how much are we talking about per biennium then? Would it bring in as the projection?
About $4 billion, $3 to $4 billion, we think, depending on how in the end, what corporations fall under that, how the economy goes one year or the next. But we haven't seen any actual official state projections.
Ben Unger, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with Our Oregon and the A Better Oregon Coalition, talking about alternative revenue-raising plans to pay for schools and other state services. Oregon enters this next budget cycle starting July 1 of 2017 to July 1 of 20 or to June 30th of 2019. Not quite $2 billion in the hole, potentially, and what Our Oregon and A Better Oregon are talking about is something like Measure 97, but tweaked a bit from what voters rejected in November. Let's get your take on this. Think about what you might want to see in the way of services in Oregon and what you're willing to see raised in the way of taxes to pay for the services that the state of Oregon gets. 800-838-3760 to join by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. So I mentioned two taxes. We talked about the new gross receipts tax and with a higher floor and a health care provider tax. Talk about that one.
Well, in Oregon, we already have a health care provider tax. It's a tax on the health care industry that helps us draw in federal dollars to match the state funding that we put into making health care affordable for families. It's not one of those taxes that you hear about every day, but it sure does make healthcare work in the state of Oregon right now. And one of the greatest successes of the last decade in the state of Oregon has been our ability to slowly but surely provide more healthcare coverage for more Oregonians. But even though we've reduced the uninsured by hundreds of thousands over the last 10 years, there are still about 300,000 Oregonians that still don't have any healthcare, including about 30,000 kids. And that's just not acceptable. And one of the things that we can do here in the state is provide more insurance and try to make it more affordable for the families that already do have insurance by continuing to expand the hospital provider tax, the healthcare provider tax, to allow it to do everything it possibly can do to bring the federal dollars into the state that we need to help make healthcare more affordable for families.
Would that be a tax just on profit-making hospitals?
No, it depends on how you want to set it up. And so one of the questions, I think, for the legislature this upcoming cycle is how do they want to set up the provider tax? It can be on profit making and nonprofit. Most of the hospitals are nonprofit hospitals. But it can be on both. It can be on different kinds of healthcare providers. They can do a lot of different things. And one of the challenges that Oregon has, the rest of the country has, is that with the Trump administration and congressional Republicans pledging to roll back the Affordable Care Act and repeal the health care that we provided for all these hundreds of thousands of families, we've got to do everything we can here in the state to help make sure we are protecting Oregonians because we don't necessarily know what the federal agenda is going to be. And so we kind of have to move quick to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect health care here in the state.
All right, so that's the healthcare provider tax. I want to come back to the corporate tax a bit, because in addition to some of the financial parts of things, there are some other things that don't directly involve money so much as being able to see where it goes. What kind of transparency are you seeking in state law?
Well, this is one of the big challenges, I think, that frustrated voters and editorial boards and reporters and us, to be frank, during the campaign was we don't know how much corporations are currently paying in taxes. We don't know how well our current tax code treats corporations. We don't know if it treats them fairly or unfairly. We don't know if it, certain sectors are well treated and others aren't. And so it's really, you're kind of legislating and politicking with one hand tied behind your back if you don't know how much these corporations pay. We have some sense broadly, but we don't know enough details to be able to make the kind of specific decisions that we ought to be able to make. And one of the things that I think was a lesson learned during Measure 97 is that people want to know how much do these individual corporations pay? How much does Walmart pay? How much does Bank of America pay? And what's the fair amount to ask them to pay in the future? By having simple transparency, knowing what corporations pay, which makes a lot of sense considering these are publicly traded corporations, corporations that already have to report their federal taxes to the federal government. It's not a new idea, but for us in Oregon, as we're policymaking, we gotta have that basic information. It'll be good for the public. It'll be good for policymakers. It'll be good for journalism because you all can help us debate and figure out the right thing. It's an important addition, I think, to the discussion. We couldn't have done it on a ballot measure, but we can do it in the legislature.
So then would even privately held companies with no public stock sales have to participate?
You know, I think that's a question that we have to explore a little bit more. We got to figure out what's the right, where is that line between public and private interest? I think it's clear that any company that's traded publicly on the stock exchange on Wall Street, if you're a Wall Street company, if you're reporting your federal taxes publicly, you ought to be able to report your state taxes publicly. That's a no-brainer. How much further do you go? I think that's a question for the legislature. We got to figure out what's the right point. And I think there's probably arguments on both sides.
All right. Ben Unger from A Better Oregon and Our Oregon, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about follow-ups to Measure 97. Here's a call from Jack in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Thanks for taking my phone call. My name's actually Jake, Jack. But, Ben, I really am interested in this whole topic. And the one question I have about Measure 97 and the corporate taxes, what kind of modeling have you guys done on what's the probability that if we raise this corporate tax, these businesses will leave? Because obviously, what amount of employees do they hire, and do we not garner a lot of tax through that payroll revenue? And I mean, on the flip side of that coin, yes, we do have the lowest corporate tax in Oregon, but there's probably some methodology behind that, right? We want to attract these large corporations to come to Oregon to do more business. And ultimately, I believe that the catalyst to true economic growth in each individual market in each city is the jobs. You know, we have to create good living wage jobs for people to go out, make money, pay property taxes, pay payroll taxes, pay income taxes, all of those things. So,
okay, let's get a response. You know, Jake, thanks for that. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good question, Jake. And one of the reasons why we designed Measure 97 the way we did was to make sure that no company that was based here, that was hiring people here, but doing work all around the world, would be penalized for basing their business here in Oregon. And, you know, the Nikes and the Intels of the world who sell billions and billions of dollars of stuff to other places wouldn't get taxed on all the stuff they're selling to other places. What we wanted to do was to take the corporations that were using our infrastructure, who were selling stuff to Oregonians, who had to be here to sell it to us. If you're Walmart, you can't sell it unless you have a Walmart here. We wanted to make those corporations pay. And so the great thing about Measure 97 is that you only get taxed on the sales that you make in Oregon to Oregonians. And so because of that, if you want to sell stuff to Oregonians, you would have to pay the tax if you're really, really big. On the flip side, if you weren't selling stuff to Oregon, but you were making stuff here, if you are a manufacturer, which is what some of the jobs that we know are good jobs, or if you were making tech chips to sell to Texas, you wouldn't pay on those things. And so it wouldn't hurt your business to be based here because you're only being taxed on the things that you sell here. And that's one of the innovative reasons why economists around the country say that this style of tax, a tax that makes only large corporations pay but is based only on the sales that they make in the state of Oregon, would be a net positive for the economy. It would help create new jobs and help create good middle-class jobs, so jobs where you can actually support a family. So it actually is a very innovative tax that actually addresses the concern that Jake brought up.
Ben, we only have about 20 seconds left. Does your plan address the pension obligations of the state in any way?
You know, our plan doesn't. Our plan's a plan for a revenue and trying to figure out how we fill this budget gap. The problem with the state's budget hole is that these corporations aren't paying their fair share, and that's what we're trying to fix.
All right. We will hear much more, no doubt, from the Coalition A Better Oregon, of which Our Oregon is a part. Ben Unger is from Our Oregon, and he joined us today to talk about the follow-up to Measure 97. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care.